We'd like to have you turn in the scriptures to the book of Exodus. I think all of us know that the Ten Commandments are recorded three times in the Old Testament, almost word for word. The one that the pastor has been asking us to turn to is Exodus chapter 20. And the eighth commandment this morning that we want to look at, he wanted the series to continue, is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, you shall not steal. The Ten Commandments are also recorded in Leviticus chapter 19. And again, it's very clear, haven't changed, you shall not steal. And then in the book of Deuteronomy, they are repeated again for the second generation that they went into the promised land. And of course, the Ten Commandments are listed there. And the eighth one again is, you shall not steal. The pastor has taught us the various hand motions, and the one for the eighth was, number eight is this, and you put it in front of your face, and that represents the bars. You get arrested if you steal. So we want to look at that particular commandment this morning. Many of you are aware from your childhood days about the story of Robin Hood and his merry men in Sherwood Forest. Robin Hood would steal from the rich to give to the poor. And his stealing almost became a legend. It was all right to steal because he gives to the poor. This morning we are not going to raise up the legendary Robin Hood as an idol or as someone should follow, because no matter what your motive in stealing, it's wrong. It's sin. And the scripture makes it very clear that you shall not steal. It's wrong in any society. We're going to talk about the definition of stealing is the act of taking goods from someone else without their permission. And sometimes it's taking even not tangible goods, but sometimes their reputation. And we're going to learn a little bit this morning about how we even steal from God. And the bottom line is that all of us are stealers. Another message that we won't get into, but the message, is it okay to own things, to possess things? We believe in capitalism, and those that believe in socialism, about maybe it's wrong, it's evil, even to gather up a lot of goods that they are mine and no one shall have. And that's another message in itself. And the bottom line for Christian is that everything we really possess that we have really belongs to the Lord. If we dedicated our life, all the material things, all of the tangible things that we call wealth and stuff isn't ours. We are just stewards of the Lord, but we are to be good stewards. And we shouldn't let someone steal God's goods. And we shouldn't we shouldn't steal someone else's good. You might want to know in the message this morning exactly where we are going. And I share with you this thesis. As terrible and as forbidding stealing is, God forgives the repentant thief. As terrible and as forbidding stealing is, the bottom line is, as we get down through the message, that God forgives the repentant thief. And I'm not talking about just the thief on the cross. The bottom line is, we all are thieves, and we all need to repent, and we all need to trust in the Lord. And so let's share the message this morning along what I call six subdivisions as we work our way down, knowing we are going to go to the place where God will forgive the repentant thief and end there, and be encouraged that God's mercy is there and His grace is there. And even though we might be found guilty of stealing, and you might say at the beginning of the message, you don't know me. I do not steal. You might be very dogmatic in that. I hope by the end of the message I can convince you that you are a thief. And I'm a thief. And we do break this commandment. We break all the commandments. They are standards that Christians, and they are repeated again in the New Testament. It's not like we don't work to be honest and full of grace and all of that. But the bottom line is that we are all thieves, and we all need God's mercy and forgiveness as we live our Christian life. Subdivision number one is this: the wickedness of stealing. I have an alliteration, and I was thinking of using the word the wrongness of stealing. But I want to use a stronger word to emphasize stealing is so wicked. It's listed there with so many of the other vicious and terrible sins that a man can commit. And so I've chosen the title of subdivision number one, the wickedness of sin, because it's more than just wrong. Every society that you can be in is built on trust and not the fact of people stealing from us. Now, you might be in Exodus chapter 20. If not, I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 22. You might be already there. And I want to read a verse that elaborates the rules for those who steal. It sort of reminds us of the wickedness of stealing. Exodus 22, right after the Ten Commandments are given, then there's a lot of regulation. I'm just going to read the ones that pertains to stealing. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, then there shall be no guilt for his bloodshed. If the sun had risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He shall make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it's an ox or a donkey or a sheep, he shall restore double. Just a reminder from the Old Testament, the law of the wickedness and the seriousness of thieves. When you think about when Jesus Christ was crucified, who was innocent, who was sinless, he died for my sin, your sins, and each side of them was what kind of a criminal? They executed, they crucified men that were thieves. A person who steals like a donkey or an oxen is really stealing the livelihood of that person, and that person could die. Stealing is serious. It's wicked. It shouldn't be done, although it is done. And the two men that died on a cross next on each side of our Lord shows the wickedness of stealing. Today we have banks. Why do we have banks? Because to protect our money. We have vaults. We have armed guards. We have locks, safes on a computer. We have passwords to keep people from stealing, and all kinds of laws that are passed to protect people from stealing from us, and they still do a pretty good job at stealing. Stealing is a major sin in our country. Also, as you think about that sin, wicked sin called stealing, has a lot of cousins that sometimes it's associated with stealing or goes along with stealing. As we unfold our message, you will see. Cousins of stealings are greed, because a person is greedy, he will often steal. Or just plain laziness. The Bible has something to say about, you know, working with your hands. Don't steal. Earn your money. Sometimes just lying goes along with stealing and cheating and slander. And so when you think about stealing, it's hard just to isolate perhaps that one aspect, that one sin, because there's so many other sins that are connected and goes along with it. I won't turn to a lot of other verses in the Bible, but I do want you to turn to a few of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 8 through 10. I want you to look in the Bible, in the New Testament, that God shows the wickedness of stealing. We might think, sometimes people think, he's a petty thief. He just steals little things. Over in California, I understand now they have a law out there that you can steal up to $950 worth of merchandise and not be arrested. You just maybe you shouldn't do that. That's about the worst. But you won't be put into jail. You won't be arrested. I don't know if you could do that every day or once a week or do they mean once in a lifetime. But that was the new law that was passed. They call it, I guess, keep the prisons are full now. We don't want petty thieves in it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in the New Testament, there are listed some kind of sins that the Corinthians were involved in before they were saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's start at verse 8. No, you yourself do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuality, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkard. Listen in what we would call, oh, terrible, wicked sins is the sin of stealing, thieves. The Lord said, it's wicked. The New Testament repeats all of the Ten Commandments with the exception of Sabbath that was explained by our pastor a couple of weeks ago. But all the New Testament reiterates all of these commandments that we shouldn't do as Christians, and even have higher standards now that we have the grace of God and the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. 1 Peter chapter 4, let me just read it for you. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, an evildoer, and in between those two wicked sins is the don't suffer as a thief. Not a murderer, not an evildoer, and in between it is listed the thief. I want you to turn, though, with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. And I want to read this, and at the end of the message, we'll come back to this one verse. Maybe not turn to it in the Bible. So here we have the apostle under the inspiration of Scripture writing to the Christians at Ephesus, verse 28. Let him who stole, it was almost a way of life, who stole, steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. Not only to meet your own need, but instead of stealing from someone, Christians are to give to someone from the effort of working. Don't steal from someone. Work with your hands when you make money so you can give to someone instead of stealing from someone. So, division number one, I think we'll all agree that stealing is wicked, the wickedness of stealing. Division number two, subdivision number two, is I want to just spend a few moments on the ways of stealing. What are some ways that people steal? And I probably don't have enough time to list them all. And many of you have been taken by thieves. Sometimes your car been stolen, your bank account, your identity. But let me give you what I might list in two different categories. The obvious way that others commit, not you, not us. Okay. I hope not. Here's some ways that we might think about. Oh yeah, those are crooks. They deserve to be caught and arrested. They are obvious ways of stealing money. And some of you perhaps have been on the bad end of being stolen. Bank and armed robberies, of course, we hear about often people trying to go in and rob a bank with a real gun or a make-believe gun. Money laundering, wire fraud, insurance and Social Security fraud, embezzlement, credit and internet fraud, identity theft, forgery. Many have been taken up in the Ponzi scheme of stealing money that way. Car thieves, extortion, kidnappers taking someone else's person and ransoming them. Dishonest business practice. People who have a way of cooking the books and taking money thinking no one would notice. Pickpocketers, shoplifting. Perhaps millions and billions of dollars are stolen in stores, even this time of the year, and we all end up paying for it because they just jack up the price to pay for all the things that are stolen from the shop. Looting, when there's a crisis, people will go in and steal things and break down the windows and doors and go in and take because of flooding or fires. Scam calls, every time you get a scam call, someone trying to steal from us. And we all trying to do our best not to be taken. False ads that make it look like you're going to get something for nothing only to get your money and steal from you. Hijacking. Stealing is a major crime. It's a major crime. And I think we all are aware of how annoying it is and how hard it is to protect what you do have. We don't leave our house unlocked. We don't leave our car unlocked. We secure everything. We don't leave our money out in plain sight because there's so many crooks, there's thieves. And so the obvious ways that people steal, and I listed the major ones, but believe me, there are new ways that they are coming up with to get our money, to get your money, stealing, the obvious ways. And we know that that stealing is wrong, it's wicked. But there are many ways that people in our culture are trying to steal. Now, let me go to the second major point under the ways of stealing. Not only the obvious ways that others commit, but the subtle, less obvious ways that that I think you and I might commit. And this might where we all might feel a little uncomfortable. Because I'm going to share some things that perhaps I'm guilty of, you guilty of, that we do steal. Plagiarism. Stealing ideas or a term paper or something that somebody else wrote, but we write it as if ours. I'll share a little illustrations along the way on a few of these. We had a pastor, and I worked with the pastors back in New York, that the church asked him to leave. He was a good pastor. He worked hard. He spent a lot of time in the hospital visiting his folks. He didn't have a big church. So he was running out of time, so week after week after week, he would go on the internet, download a sermon, preach it as if it was his. Didn't give him credit, didn't tell anybody this was so-and-so's sermon. Well, with the internet today, some of the people in the church begin looking on the internet and finding word for word the message that was being preached. Oh, by the way, this is not plagiarized. This is my own outline, okay? You won't find it anywhere, whether you like it or not. But he lost his ministry. He lost his church because he stole a pastor in one of our churches, plagiarized. And perhaps it happened more often than we like to admit. Kids cheating at schools. You know, you look over and copy the answers off on someone else. Oh, it's only two or three, but you stealing from them. They stayed all night working at it. You just looked over and copied their answer. That's stealing. The income tax. You know, many times as adults, we fill our income tax and we don't give a full account. We cheat a little bit. We don't record like a pastor. If I do a funeral or a wedding or speaking somewhere and they give you money, that's supposed to be recorded. It's an honor system. But like sometimes it's easy for I just won't record the $1,000 extra I got this year, you know. The government got enough money. I'll pay. That's stealing. That's cheating. You go to a restaurant, a fast food. We all do it. We go to McDonald's or Burger King's or any of those fast food. And they ask you, are you going to eat in or out? Why do they ask you that? Because if you say I'm taking it out, you don't have to pay taxes. So every time they think of that, I'm thinking, I'm going to say I'm going to take it out. Only for a second, but then I pay the tax because I'm going to eat it in. Now, if you're going to take it out and eat it out, if not stealing, but if you say I'm going to take it out and then sit down and eat it, you're stealing from the government. I'll also explain why we steal a little bit later on in our message. You know, sometimes there's companies that will take cash under the table. They might encourage you. I'll do this. Don't write a check. Just give me $1,000 for the project. Just give it to me under the table. You don't count it as expense, and I won't count it as income. And you are aiding and abetting Or if you do a project and you take cash under the table so you don't have to record it, that's stealing. Keeping a lost wallet or money found. You read the Old Testament. If you found an animal, you go find its owner. If you found a wallet and there's money in it, you do all you can to find the owner instead of saying, you know, losers, weepers, or finders, keepers. That's stealing because it doesn't belong to you even though you found it. Violating copyright laws. Our church pays money to able to put on our screen the pictures. Some churches say, I'm not going to do it. No one's going to tell. You are robbing someone from royalty because every time we use a song, they get 2 cents from that song because they wrote it and we are singing it and we are copying it. There are copyright laws, and when we break those copyright laws, then we are stealing money from that person. I worked in a factory for a few years before I went into ministry. I was quite young. I guess I was naive. The men would bring their lunch boxes in into the factory and they eat their lunch. And on the way out, they fill it full of, you know, pencils and paper clips and other things that the company had. And they walk out with it. No one would catch them. They're stealing from their employee. When we take things from our employees, unless they give permission for you to do so, it's stealing. It's wrong. Even though it's not a big amount, it still is stealing. I remember the story about in 1930, in those time period in Russia, things were really, 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 really bad. And really, stealing was just sort of that's how you survived. So where this guy worked, he would load up his wheelbarrow and put a cover over and on the way out, tried to take a lot of stuff from his company. And the guard would always catch him. He did this for months. Until the last day he was going to work there, he tried one more time. He filled his wheelbarrow full up, and the guard caught him. And the guard said, you know, you've been a fool. Every day for the last whatever length of time, you've been trying to steal from us. What a fool you've been. And the guy said, what a fool you've been. I've been stealing wheelbarrows. I thought, how easy it is. How easy it is. At work, when you get hired and you have a skill or ability, do you think the boss wants you to give 100% during the day to work? Statistics show that perhaps we only give 70% effort in our job. We use some time to go on the internet and order some things for Christmas, and we write a friend an email. Why are we supposed to be working? That's stealing. Your boss wants you to work for him, and how easy it is to steal. I remember a pastor, most churches give their pastor what they call a traveling expense, a professional expense. And this one pastor, if he went to a conference, you get so much money for every mile you travel to the conference and back. And he would turn in his report that he traveled 100 miles to the Bible conference and back to get reimbursed, only to find out he was always riding with a neighboring pastor. He never drove his car one mile. But yet he was turning in a professional expense. That's stealing. Even as pastors and Christians, many times we are guilty of stealing. Not paying what you owe. You borrow too much money. You went in debt. You have to file bankruptcy. You might get out of it, but the other people have to pay what you owe them. They lose it. That's stealing. A clerk, you went into a store and a clerk didn't charge you enough. Should have been $10. They only charge you $8. You know it. Now, if they overcharge you, you would probably be going way back. Hey, look, you've charged me $2 too much. Well, if they undercharge you and you don't say anything about, you say, well, that's their mistake. But in reality, that's stealing. I remember one of our pastors back in New York went into a grocery store. Back in New York, you can take pop cans back and you get a nickel a can. And so he had a number of those cans in a bag. And he went and got a little slip, and it was like $1.50 in change that you can get on the way out. Anyway, he threw it away. When he went and got some food, he didn't have a basket. he put some meat in his pocket, cold meat in his pocket. He went over and then he found out he lost the slip. So he went back into the garbage and he began. And now people are watching him. You know how they are in the store. This guy's a little suspicious. He put meat in his pocket. He's going through the garbage looking for something. He just looks. Well, on the way out, he forgot to take the meat out of his pocket, the cold meat, to pay for it. And he goes out the door, and the security been having an eye on him and arrests him. He's a pastor. One of the first things he did, he called Pastor Golden because I was a state rep. He said, "My name's going to be in the paper. I don't want you to think I'm a crook, you know." And he tells me the story, and of course it was worked out, but that was an accident or not done on purpose. I was in the doctor's office a couple weeks ago with my wife, and she was in getting some tests, and I was reading a magazine, and on the wall, these words, "Do not steal our magazines. Other people want to read them. We'll make a copy, whatever you want," you know. Stealing is a, you know, one of the things that we might want to think about is how we steal from God. In Malachi, they said, "How do we? You steal from God? You rob God?" Well, when you don't give your tithe, if God give you money and you are stewards, and He said, "I want 10% back to put in the offering of your church," and you only give 5%, you stole the 5%. When you don't give God what He wants you to give, and you cut it back. That's stealing. Or God has given you a talent. You have a wonderful voice. There's no reason you shouldn't sing. But you don't use it in the local church. You're stealing from God. He gave you your talent and your tithe and all of that, that we would use it for the Lord. When we don't do it, when we refuse to do it, we are really stealing from God. So anyway, those are some ways of stealing. Maybe I took a little bit extra time to go through some of the less obvious ways. The third division is this. I call it the wages of stealing. The wages of stealing. The wages of sin is death. We know that verse in Romans chapter 6 and 23. In Old Testament, details that if you steal, you owe, there's consequences, there's punishment. There's things that you have to do. If you stole something and got caught and you butchered it or whatever, you got to pay 4 or 5 times the value of that. You don't get away with stealing. You have to repay what you've stolen. If you are arrested, there are places in our world that, and Pastor Josh verified this on the internet for me, that they cut off your thumbs. In Saudi Arabia, they cut off your fingers. Try to pick something up with just your 4 fingers. The punishment was they cut your thumbs off because that keeps you from stealing. If you're caught stealing, they'll cut your thumbs off in some culture today and in the past. Sometimes the wages of stealing is just the guilty conscience. Man, I've done wrong. You can't sleep at night because you know you stole it. That's the wages of stealing. Sometimes you lose your Christian testimony. Sometimes you have to pay back when you get caught. I remember one of the men, I won't mention it, was telling me when he was a little boy, his mom would take him shopping, and he wanted this little squirt gun, little water pistol. He wanted it real bad. Mom said, "No, you're not going to have it, not going to do it." Well, anyway, when she wasn't looking, he took it. He's a member of our church. And next day he was squirting people with his water pistol. His mom said, "Where'd you get that water pistol?" And he said, "Well, I stole it." So by the ear, she drags him back to the little store. And the owner there said, "All right, you did wrong." For 2 weeks, he had to clean up the store. Okay, that was his punishment. That was the wages. And then he tells me that the owner gave him the water pistol. And the gentleman from our church said, he didn't want it. He didn't want anything to do with that water pistol. It reminded him all the sad, hard work he had to go through. The wages of stealing. There is a payment that you think you're going to get away with it, but you don't. There's always payday someday. Now, the fourth subdivision Why do we steal? The why of stealing. The why of stealing. Well, the bottom line, we are sinners. We are sinners saved by grace. But we still are sinners. The old nature is there. The old way is still there. We are still selfish, greedy. We are covetous. We haven't learned to be content. Maybe we try to justify it. We cheat on the government and we say, they waste their money. I'm not going to give them any other money, even though it should be theirs. Or we might say, you work for a big company, and we might justify, they won't miss it. It's just a little amount. And so we justify it. Sometimes we just say, I deserve it. Man, I've been without a lot, and about time there's some equity, and maybe we bought into our culture of the entitlement, and they owe it me, and everybody else has it, and so we do it. Maybe we're just lazy. That's the why of stealing. Sometimes people that steal, I think, work harder at stealing than if they just worked and made their money and bought things honestly, but perhaps laziness. Maybe we are poor. I really need it. And we're too proud to beg, and we don't have way to borrow, so we just steal it. Well, I can get away with it. I'm good at it. I can steal it. I've been stealing, and no one knows it. Well, God knows it. Maybe you just like the idea of getting something for nothing. It's a game. Maybe when you were young and you stole things from a cookie jar. We were in an antique place the other day, and it was a big cookie jar. An old-fashioned cookie jar, and it says, thou shalt not steal. And we all know how kids can take cookies out of the cookie jar, and when asked by their mommy, who took the cookies? And the kid says, I didn't. He stole. Stealing. Maybe they weren't corrected often enough as a child, and so as they get older, they just steal bigger and better things. Now, I'm going to tell you a personal failure. I'm ashamed to tell you this. I don't really like to tell you. The only reason I'm telling you is it's true, and really I tell you, I'm a thief as well as you are. I had my wife and one of my sons out a while back, and we went to this fast food restaurant. I've never been there, haven't gone there often, and each of them ordered what they want, and I paid. And I thought at the time, it sounded like I got a pretty good deal. But I didn't think of much. I put the slip in my pocket, went back to begin eating, and then I realized that I looked at the slip, thought about it. They did not charge me for one of the sandwiches. It was less than $4.39. Now you would think, as Pastor Golden, he would get right up from the table, go back, and pay the extra money. Well, I didn't. I stole. It happens. You don't intend it to happen. But it's so easy to be involved as Christians in stealing. And the Bible writes to the Israelites, the New Testament reminds us, you shall not steal, writing to us as Christians. And so even though we do it and it happens, it doesn't make it right. The fifth subdivision is this, the warnings of stealing, or some examples or illustrations from the Bible. I'm going to give you four or five, and we won't turn to the passages. I think once you see the names that I give illustration of people who stole in the Bible and God dealt with them very severely, because remember, stealing is wicked. God said, do not steal. And so we should remind ourselves, and these examples are warnings, what happened when people do steal. The first warning, the first example is Achan in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 7. He was part of the Israelites, and they went into Jericho to do battle. God gave them the victory. God said, don't take any of the spoils of Jericho. Well, Achan didn't listen. He stole some gold and some clothing. He put them in his tent and dug a ditch or dug a pit and put them in. Got counted. He got caught, because the next time they went out to battle, God said there was sin in the camp. You're not going to win this battle until you deal with sin in your camp. Someone stole something. So they went and found out who it was. It was Achan. And they went and found what he buried. And they had him stoned to death in his family. Stealing is serious. It's wicked. God said, do not steal. The second warning, the second example, is Ahab and Jezebel, wicked king and queen, the worst of the kind that led Israel. He had everything he wanted. He was rich. He had this great palace. And right next to him, there was this little vineyard, just a little plot of land owned by Naboth. And Ahab wanted it. But Naboth said, no. Ahab said, I'll give you more money than it's worth. You can pick any other piece of property you want. Naboth said, no, it's been in my family for years. I just could not sell it. It's part of my family. And so Ahab, he went home and pouted, and his mother or his wife said, I'll take care of it. So what she did, she had Naboth killed. And then they stole his land. And Ahab and Jezebel, you can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 21, that they paid a dear price for their stealing. It's a warning to us. Yet we have so much, yet we think we want that little piece of property that we can't have, that God said, I don't want you to have it. But we want it anyway. They stole. We think of David, a man after God's own heart, a wonderful king. We have great messages on King David, but you know that he lusted after a woman, and he really stole Bathsheba from her husband, had him murdered so he could have her as his wife. He stole her, and he paid a dear price to have the baby that was conceived in that relationship die. These are warnings to us that God takes stealing very serious. Another character is by the name of Judas Iscariot. He was one of the elected apostles by Christ, went around with Jesus, learned everything. He was a treasurer. We find out that he was stealing out of the bag. He was stealing out of the money box. He was a treasurer. He was embezzling the funds. We know how he ended. He not only betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, but he ended up hanging himself and dying a very unusual death. Judas Iscariot is a warning. Then Ananias and Sapphira in the early church, this couple, they had property. They could do what they want with it. It was theirs. But other people sold their property in the beginning of the church because there were a lot of folks that were having tough times and they were trying to help them out. And so Ananias and Sapphira, they pretended that they got so much money from the selling the land. They pretended they gave everything, but they kept back something. Now, they could have kept it all, but they pretended they stole. They lied. It all goes together. They stole. And they died immediately in the early church. See, the wickedness of stealing is serious. And these warnings are to remind us of the seriousness of sin. One more is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, you know, he climbed up in a sycamore tree and he got saved and gloriously saved. He gave half his goods to the poor because he was stealing from his own people before he got saved. He would tax because he worked for the Roman government. He was collecting their tax, but instead of collecting, say, $100 from you, he collected $150 from you. You couldn't do anything about it because he was the authority. And then he kept $50 for himself, gave the rest of the money to the government. He was stealing from his own people. He was a sinner. They hated him. He was a worse of sinner. He was a thief. Because stealing is wicked. Now, we're going to get back to Zacchaeus a little bit later on. We praise God for him. Not that he was stealing things, but he did make things right. The sixth and final division that I want to look at is what I call the waiver for sinning or for stealing. God will waive or will dismiss or will put aside the just punishment for stealing when a person accepts him as Savior or when a Christian confesses his sin of stealing, and God will forgive you. He will waive the punishment. What a wonderful thought to end on as we think about how guilty maybe all of us are. The thief on the cross, you know the story very well. They were dying because they were thieves. And one mocked Christ, the other recognized that he was a sinner. He deserved the judgment that he was getting, the crucifixion that he was experiencing. And he looked to the Lord and he confessed his sin. And the Lord said, today you shall be with me in paradise. That thief was forgiven of his sin. Instead of spending eternity in the lake of fire and hell forever and ever, he would spend eternity with Christ, because the judgment was waived. It was forgiven. It was dismissed because he repented of his stealing. Zacchaeus was forgiven and he made restitution. Immediately once he got saved, he began saying, I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone, and he has, he said, I'm going to send back fourfold, because that was the law. He was a thief, but he repented and he was willing to repay. You could turn, if you want to, Ezekiel, and this is the last passage I'll ask you to turn to. But Ezekiel chapter 33 and verses 14, 15, and 16, in Ezekiel, it talks about how a thief can have his guilt and his punishment waived, forgiven, dismissed, because of the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read some of that if you're there in Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning around verse 14. It's true of any sin, not just if you steal, but in this context, the word stolen is used. The thief, if he turns from his sin and does what is lawful and right and restores the pledge, gives back what he has stolen, walks in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live and not die. His sin has been waived. His sin has been forgiven. He won't die. He shall live. None of the sins which he has committed shall be remembered against him. He shall live. If he makes things right, if he makes restitution, if he repays, God will waive his punishment. Now, I'll read again Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. I looked there earlier. I won't go there again as we wrap up our sixth subdivision of this topic. Ephesians 4:28, God writes to all Christians, with you and me involved, you and me included. He says, let him who stole stop. Don't do it any longer. Stop stealing. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, and that he may have something to give him who has need. So as we think about our sins being wavered and forgiven, stop stealing is the first point. Begin working, and then your needs will be met, and you will have some funds to give to someone in need. Not take from that person, but give to that person. Now, when we respond like that, God forgives. God waives the penalty of stealing. Let me conclude with this as we think about the message. Are you a thief? Yes, you are. And so am I. Do we keep the Ten Commandments? No way. Even though we've been reminded of what's involved and the seriousness of it, and by God's grace that we work at it, the Ten Commandments don't get us saved. Galatians chapter 4 says the law, the Ten Commandments and all the other law that we read out in the Old Testament, was our tutor. It was given to bring us to Christ. I'm a thief. I break the Ten Commandments. Everyone does. They are used not to bring salvation, but to bring us to the person of Jesus Christ. We are sinners, and we can be saved by grace. We can be forgiven. So, yes, we are thieves. We shouldn't, deny that. It's in our very nature. We are a band of thieves. We are guilty of it under the eyes of a holy God. But remember the last point. God forgives a repentant thief. And as we came to Christ as our Savior, He forgives our sins. And as Christians, as we live holy and try to live a sanctified life, when we fall into whatever sin we might be, as soon as we do, we recognize that that was wrong. I confess it. I agree with God. I repent of that. I don't want to do it anymore. I'll make things right. And God sees that heart, and He waives that sin. He forgives us that sin. We are holy. Tonight we want to observe the Lord's Supper. And it's not to keep us from Him, but as we come to the Lord's Supper and examine our life and get things right with God, and we observe the Lord's Supper, it's a beginning of a new, fresh slate that we can begin walking again with the Lord. 613 is the hymn that Pastor Parker would come and lead us in prayer. So if you would turn there, let me have a word of prayer before we sing. And, you know, the mercy of God, He will forgive us. Think about the chorus of this wonderful hymn about no matter how guilty we are and no matter how great our sins might be, God's grace and mercy is far greater. Father, we thank You for a reminder of Your mercy. And Lord, we don't like a lot of part of the sermon, Lord, but we like the last part where You